gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he beheld the city full of idols. It is written, ye men of Athens, in all things I perceive that ye are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. It is written, what therefore ye worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you. It is written, and he hath made of one every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation. Of ignorance, therefore, God overlooked. But now he hath commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might. Oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is the path on the wings of the storm. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message, the Sermon of Paul on Mars Hill. When the Apostle Paul was on his second missionary tour, he came to Athens and found a city full of idols, and his spirit was provoked within him. It was often said that it was easier to find a god in Athens than to find a man. They had an idol for any kind of religion, and a few of them were idols to an unseen God, one they may have missed. So Paul reasoned in the synagogue in the marketplace every day with all who met him. The Epicurean and Stoic philosophers met him in the marketplace, and some said, what would this babbler say? Others, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. Neither one of these philosophies believed in the resurrection from the dead, and the Epicurean philosophy could be summed up in the phrase, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Paul agreed with that part of it, as he quoted them in 1 Corinthians 15:32. If there is no resurrection, Paul said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Otherwise, Paul did not have much respect for their philosophy, as he said in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, the 8th verse. Take heed, lest there be any that make spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and not after Christ. So the city fathers brought Paul up to Mars Hill, and told him, we would know more of this teaching which is spoken of thee, for thou bringest strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Now it seems strange they would be offended by Paul as a setter forth of strange gods, when they had an altar for every god and religion anyway. So what's the big deal? It was ever thus even today. It is obvious that some churches may have teaching contrary to the Word of God, but like the altars of ancient Athens, what difference does it make? One religion is as good as another. One persuasion is as good as another. Until someone, like Peter or Paul, comes along with the message of the unknown God. A few years ago, we recited Paul's sermon on Mars Hill to a modern audience. It only takes a few minutes to preach the same sermon Paul preached almost 2,000 years ago, and it is obvious an outline of the original message. So if we follow Paul's outline, the following are some of the thoughts that Paul expressed that day when the wise men of Athens said he was a setter forth of strange gods. First, Paul told them that God made the world. He complimented them as being very religious, and then said he even found an altar that honored the unknown God. Then he informed them that since they did not know this unknown God, he would tell them about him. Paul told them this unknown God did not dwell in temples made with hands like the gods they knew. And at that moment, the audience could turn their heads and see a short distance away the greatest pagan temple of ancient days, known as the Parthenon, where the female goddess Athena was worshipped. Then Paul could have told them the unknown God was the one who made the world. And although they could not see him physically, for no man can see God and live, they could see him by the works he had done. He may very well have used the word he would use in Romans 1:20. The invisible things since the beginning of the world are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they might be without excuse. While we cannot see the unknown God, we can look up and see him by what he has done. Many years ago, as a teenager, I saw a documentary film in the movies on the life of Mark Twain. Mark Twain said that he was born when Halley's Comet came in 1835. And he said since he was born when that comet came in, he would die when Halley's Comet came back. 75 years later, in 1910, Halley's Comet returned, and in that year, Mark Twain died. He guessed his demise correctly. 75 years later, in 1985, Halley's Comet returned again. One night, about 10 o'clock, I went out and looked toward the west and saw Halley's Comet. Halley's Comet is a dirty block of ice about 10 miles long, and every 75 years it travels millions of miles and always returns. For those who are alive in the year 2060 A.D., Halley's Comet will return again. Ladies and gentlemen, could all that just happen? Or was it planned by someone the Athenians called the unknown God? So, if you want to see the unknown God before Halley's Comet comes back, just look up some night at that big yellow ball called the moon. Then look at that red ball called Mars. And then look at that beautiful big blue ball space travelers call the Earth. And you will see the unknown God, the Athenians thought about when they heard Paul preach on Mars Hill. So, Paul said that unknown God is the one that made the world. Now, Paul knew that God made the world because he said in Romans 11:1 that he was an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. And with that heritage, he would have been familiar with the first chapter of Genesis, where it is said that God made the world in 6 days. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the only historical reference as to how it was done. And since no member of the human race was present, all we have to go on is the account in that first chapter of Genesis. If the Athenians had known what modern man knows today, they would have told Paul that some say it took millions and millions of years for God to make a world like the model we now live on. Ladies and gentlemen, that belief is pure superstition. It appears the more learned and advanced in the knowledge of worldly matters people become, the more superstitious they get. The proof of that is, just look at these philosophers on Mars Hill. They prided themselves that Athens was the pinnacle of worldly learning, and yet their city was full of idols. Now, doesn't that sound intelligent? Paul could have pointed out the obvious by reminding them, this unknown God is all-powerful. And being such an all-powerful God, he was able to make a world in 6 days or 6 months just as easily as 6 million years and not even raise a sweat. And besides, as finite people, it is good for us to remember what the all-powerful God said to Job in the 38th chapter. God said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel with words without knowledge? Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth, and the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you, Job? Answer me." God must have laughed as he inspired the Apostle Paul to say in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "Foreseeing in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God." It was God's wisdom that the world, through books of science, mathematics, philosophy, medicine, or any other branch of human learning, could ever show humanity the details as to how it all happened, and along with that, the way of salvation. This must have come through the Word of God and His Word alone. It is no wonder the Athenians told Paul, "Thou bringest strange things to our ears." Another strange doctrine of Paul was the fact, not only did God create the world, but he created the heaven and the earth. And there must be more than one heaven, because Psalms 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Actually, there are at least three heavens. There is one heaven that Jesus described when he said in Matthew 8:20, "The birds of the heaven have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Now that first heaven is the heaven where the birds and airplanes fly. Then there's a second heaven where the stars, moon, and planets, and farther away, constellations are found. An example of that third heaven is in Revelation 6:13, when the Apostle John tells of the day when the stars will fall from the heaven. And then there's the third heaven that Jesus referred to when he said in John 6:38, "I am come down out of heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Jesus not only came down from that third heaven, but Hebrews 12 tells us after Jesus died on the cross and arose from the dead, he ascended back into heaven to appear before the throne of God for us. And it will be from that heaven, the third heaven, that the Lord will descend according to 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are left alive, that are left unto his coming, shall together be with them, be caught up in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and what a day that will be for the redeemed. But there is another side to that revelation of the Lord from heaven. In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, when the apostle says, "And to you who are afflicted, rest with us." At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance on them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And now here is more strange doctrine preached by Paul to the Athenians. That's when he told them that the unknown God made a man. In Acts 17:26, he tells us, "And he made of one every nation of men to dwell upon the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation. Whether it be of one man or one blood, we are all descended from that one man and woman God created." Genesis 3:20 informs us that Eve is the mother of all living. And we need to remember, as Paul told the Athenians, the unknown God gives us life, breath, and all things. Paul at that point must have told the Athenians about the creation of man as beginning in Genesis 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Not only did God make a man from the dust of the earth, but after he sinned, God told him in Genesis 3, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread all the days of thy life until thou returnest unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." But even before we return to dust, God looks at us in life while we live as so many little piles of dust. In Numbers 23:10, God said, "Who can number the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel?" In the United States of America, the population is over 300 million little piles of dust, according to the way God's census goes. But cheer up. Psalms 103:14 reminds us, "For he knoweth our frame and remembers that we are dust." Because God remembers that we are dust is the reason Paul told the Athenians that God is not far away from any one of us, and that we can feel after him if haply we might find him. For in him we move and live and have our being. Most humans think that God is far away somewhere on the rim of the universe, and that's because of our sin. We are like Adam, who hid himself behind the trees of the garden when he sinned. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, it was not Adam that said, "God, where art thou?" It was God who said, "Adam, where art thou? Come out from behind the bushes. We need to talk." God has always been searching for us, even though we think he is far away. Actually, God is so close to you that when you holler his name in vain, it is like yelling that blasphemy into God's ear. God has searched for some longer than others. He searched for us when he sent the prophets, from Moses to Malachi. He continued his search when Jesus came into the world and died on the cross and arose from the dead. He continued to search for men today through the preaching of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That search for the man God made of dust will go on until the day the trumpet sounds. Now when Paul preached that message to the Athenians, he said, God made of one all the nations that dwell upon the earth. Genesis 1:26 reads, And God said, Let us make man in our image. That one man was made in the image of God, and the Athenians had taken that one man in the image of God and made themselves a god in the image of man. Actually, the pagans had done worse than that, according to Romans 1:22-23. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. That was the sin of ancient Israel, according to Acts chapter 7. They told Aaron, Make us gods that shall go before us. And they made a calf in those days, and brought a sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their hands. And Exodus 32 reminds us, These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. So God made a man in the image of God, and the Athenians took the man God made and made him a god in the form of a man. And then they made the god an animal. And finally, they took that animal and made him a creeping thing that crawls on his belly. But we're no better. We have our idols today and are searching for more. When we find one idol, we search for another the next year. The news showed a man with a huge banner at a football game celebrating the victory of his team, and the message of his banner proclaimed, Now I can die happy. It is still true, ladies and gentlemen. Thou bringest forth strange doctrine to our ears. Then Paul concluded the message with the appeal that the Lord over heaven and earth was willing to overlook the worship of idols, both then and now, and commanded all men everywhere that they should repent, inasmuch as he has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, the day of judgment has been encircled on God's celestial calendar. The judge has been ordained. It is just a question of time, as it is written, James 5:9. The judge is standing at the door. The Athenians derided the idea of judgment and resurrection from the dead. So there was nothing more to say. Thus Paul went out from among them. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian Churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel. As it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.